Father God, we come before you and we thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray that it would speak to each one of us. God, open our hearts to receive all that you have, Lord. Lord, your word says we can do nothing without you, but all things through you. So might we hear your word this morning through you. Receive it. Apply it. Grow in it. But only through you, Lord. I pray that I would hide behind Christ and that our reliance would not be on man, but upon your word and the Holy Spirit teaching us, revealing, unveiling, giving us revelation about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you would do what only you can do. Transform our lives, Lord. You have begun a good work, and you will complete it. So, Lord, we're trusting in all that you do this morning, and we commit our time to you. And we do, Lord, keep those in Texas in prayer, and that you would just minister through your spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can open your Bibles to the book of Matthew. We're in chapter 13 this morning. So I titled the word, it's just titles, you know. But I titled it, Hearing His Word, which I really liked, Word of God Speaks. That was very timely. Hearing His Word. And so chapter 13 begins the parables. Chapter 13, 14, it's all about, you know, the parables. And there's a reason why the Lord, at this moment in time, chose to teach through parables. And the reason was because they had just committed the unpardonable sin. The nation of Israel, Jesus Christ came to present himself as the Messiah to the nation of Israel. Had the nation of Israel received him as Messiah, John the Baptist would have been more than just a fulfillment. He would have been the Elijah to come. And the Lord would have set up his kingdom. He still would have to go to the cross. But the kingdom would have been set up far sooner than everyone still waiting for it at this moment in time. And so what happened was the nation as a whole, the leaders of Israel, rejected Jesus as Messiah. And in return, he said that sin, the sin of that generation, would never be forgiven. In other words, Jesus wasn't going to come back and say, okay, guys, forget it. I give you a second chance. How about now? It was that moment in time that the Lord reveals himself to the leadership for them to accept him. And when they rejected, that was the unpardonable sin, because they said that the power that he was using to cast out demons was from Beelzebub, which was the prince of demons. And so they were saying, oh no, it's not the power of God, it's the power of Satan. And Jesus said, that sin won't be forgiven. Now, can that be committed today? I say no, but there is a similar sin, and that's the final rejection of Jesus Christ. Listen, when you're on your deathbed and you've been refusing Jesus your whole life, or you think that you're saved, but you're really not, and you come to the end of your time and you still reject Jesus, that's never going to be forgiven. And if the Lord Jesus went to hell, and he didn't, and he won't, but if he went to hell and he gave people a second chance, you know they wouldn't take it. There's nobody in hell today that would turn around and go, okay, you were right, I was wrong, save me. And the picture of that and the reality of that and the precedence for that was in the book of Revelation when all hell, the wrath of God, comes upon this earth, and the unbelievers still wouldn't believe. They wanted to die. They wanted rocks to fall on them. But all the torment that they went through, they still wouldn't believe. And so Jesus, in return, he takes what they have done, and he now goes into parabolic teaching. He's going to teach through parables. The reason is to reveal the kingdom to the believers, to the true believers, but to hide it from the unbelievers. They wanted a sign. The leadership came out and they said, we want a sign. We want a sign. And Jesus said, no, we're done with signs. We're done with miracles. Listen, I'll tell you what. Here's the sign of Jonah. Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the fish. He says, the Son of Man will be 3 days in the belly of this world, and he will rise again. The only sign they get is from Jonah. And so it says, Jesus said, that those during Nineveh that had repented and had accepted what Jonah was preaching, which was judgment was coming, and so they repented in sackcloth and ashes, it says that generation, the men of Nineveh will judge, will come against and bring a charge against that generation when Jesus is on the earth. You know, I remember as a young believer, and when you start learning about Jesus, and you're watching every movie that's ever created on Jesus, you know, and you're watching, and you're like, oh, I wish I would have been around when Jesus was on the earth. I don't. I'm going to see the Lord in a way that they didn't see him on earth. Because I don't. It was a difficult time. And listen, it was a time, if you look at the book of Acts, it cost people something to come to the Lord. We're in a system now of Christianity that promotes easy believism. You know, raise your hand, you want to go to heaven. Say this prayer and you'll go to heaven. You know, there's nothing that, listen, salvation's free. We agree. For you and me, it wasn't for Jesus. It wasn't free for Jesus. It cost him his life, his blood. The Lord knows the price he's going to pay. And he knows these people that are accusing him of these things, and all of these unbelievers are going to witness or know about, I guarantee you that, him dying on the cross. But he dies for them anyway. When Jesus said something greater than Jonah, the queen of the south came to Solomon, looked at all that he had, was marveled at it, and said, it was far more than I thought in what I heard about you and how your servants are treated and how they treat you and the magnificence of the temple and all these things. Jesus said they'll bring a charge against that generation. But someone greater is here. There is someone greater than the temple. He said earlier in chapter 12, there's someone greater than Jonah. There's someone greater than Solomon. And they said, no, we don't want him. How many today are rejecting Jesus? Because they think that their life is so radically going to change that they're afraid of what it might become, not realizing it only gets better. Amen. And over years, it's like in a real true relationship. Listen, over years, love grows. It doesn't go away. It doesn't mean like, ah, you know, we've been at this thing too long. Let's call it a day. It grows. And that's the way our relationship with Jesus should be. It should always be growing. Listen, you may not skyrocket today, and you know, you're like sanctified, living a holy life, and you know, you're never gonna sin again. It's not gonna happen. But I remember, like Ron said, when he first got saved, it was little things. A little at a time. As long as we're feeding our soul, as long as we're gathering and hearing, as long as we're receiving what God has for us, and we truly receive it in our spirit, we're going to grow. Amen. We're going to grow. We grow by the word of God. Hearing the word of God, you're growing. We're all plants. And we're all growing. Nothing grows by purpose in my yard. I tell people, anything grows in my yard, it's by accident. Because I don't grow anything. God grows weeds, he grows grass, I'm okay with it, whatever. But we're all these flowers, and we're all blossoming, and we're all growing. And as long as we're receiving, that's the key, receiving from God, not giving, receiving, we're going to grow. Amen. We're going to grow. Then the Lord went into the unclean spirit, which was, he said, when the unclean spirit, he leaves the man, the demon goes and looks for a place to rest. It can't find a place to rest. And so it decides to go back. He says, to my home, which was indwelling that person again, only he brings seven more demons. And Jesus says the end will be worse than the beginning. This is, again, a picture of the nation of Israel. Where they were then was the best they were going to be. Because in 30 more years, 40 more years, AD 70, listen, the temple's going to be destroyed. They said millions of people were crucified. Crucified. That died during that takeover of Titus, the emperor. It was horrific. But listen, that wasn't the end all. It got worse after that. It's going to get worse in the tribulation period. What is the tribulation period for? To draw Israel again. It'll be worse. And listen, for every one of them that doesn't bow their knee and trust the Lord, it gets worse. There's only two places we can go when we die. It's heaven or hell. There's no detours, there's no in-betweens, there's no resting place, there's no sit here and burn for a little while as though the cross wasn't enough. Jesus did it all. And listen, coming to the Lord, it's as simple as this. Show up. Show up. That's my counsel to people that first come to the church. You know, oh, how do I know? What do I? Show up. Because I know this, if you keep showing up, I know God's the one that's bringing you. And I know if God's bringing you, he's going to do something. Amen. And you know what's cool? We sit and we watch and we go, wow, that was cool. And we see transformed lives. Verse 49, chapter 12, he says, and stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. Matthew 7:21. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, I mean, think about this. They're saying, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. This seems like believers, doesn't it? It seems like people making a proclamation of Jesus. Lord, Lord. Not so much. He says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. John 6:40. It says, for this is the will of my Father. In case you were wondering. He says that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. It's that simple. It's just that simple. Listen, we're either a sweet aroma, we're a sweet aroma for some, and for some we're a stench. We're a stench. And there's some that will believe what we're sharing with them, and there's some that won't. There's nothing that we can do to convince someone that Jesus is the Messiah. You can't, there's nothing you can do. Listen, Jesus performed miracles, and they said, oh, no, that wasn't God. You're not going to perform miracles. So there's nothing we could do other than walk with God. Amen. Walk with God. I think people take it the wrong way when I say it, but I don't try. I gave up trying to be a Christian. I am a Christian. I don't have to try to be a Christian. I don't have to try to be a man. I'm a man. Amen. I was born a boy. I got old. You're a man now. That's the way that works. And all the grace says, I'm an older man. Not that old, but older. Or as we say in my neighborhood, older. Add that to the dictionary. Yeah. But I don't have to try to be. I am. The Beatitudes was you already are. Not the do attitudes. This is what you have to do. And so as long as I'm walking with the Lord and I'm trusting him and I'm abiding in him and I'm just seeking him, I'm enjoying life. I'm enjoying Jesus. I enjoy Jesus. Too many Christians are twisted up in knots and trying to perform and you know, especially at church, oh, best behavior. Best behavior. Oh, God forbid someone sees me at the gym. I might not be the pastor at the gym. I'm Dona. That's who I am. I can't be anybody else. I don't want to be anybody else. I know early in Christianity, we used to look at certain people and go, ah, I wish I had their knowledge. I wish I could share like them. I wish I had boldness like them. Yeah, and then God showed you them. And you're like, yeah, I'm glad I'm not them. I got my own problems. I don't need them. I don't need them. Listen, Jesus said a few times, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. So here we are in chapter 13, and Jesus decides he's going to teach in parables. But remember, he's teaching so that the leaders, the wise, the smart, the educated, the ones that have rejected him, he's not teaching to them. Now, if they bend the knee or if they come to the Lord, obviously the Lord never rejected anyone. But they're not gonna. They're not gonna. Let me read them. It says, that day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. That day. What's that day? That day that they refused Jesus, all of that happened on that day. So you can imagine the buzz that was going about, the mom and dad, you know, and the brothers were there. And he's like, oh, you know, it's only those who believe or those who follow the word. They're the only ones. That's my mother and my brother. So there was a buzz around Jesus on that day, it says, and large crowds were gathering to him. So he got into the boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. So Jesus is in the boat. Everybody's standing on the beach. You know how quickly sound travels on water? I mean, I can hear sirens across the river like it's, you know, going down North Main Street because it just travels across the water. And so it's the perfect amphitheater for Jesus. He's out in a boat. He takes a seat. He's going to teach the crowds, and he's going to teach them in parables. Verse 3. It says, and he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Verse 5, others fell on the rocky places, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprung up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And the others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. He who has ears, let him hear. Now, I want you to note this. The parable of the sower does not begin with, the kingdom of heaven is like. It does not. The tares and the wheat, if you look at verse 24, it says, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to. And then when you go on every other one from there, the mustard seed, it says, the kingdom of heaven is like. The leaven, the kingdom of heaven is like. Verse 37, those who sow, the kingdom of heaven is like. It goes all the way through. Verse 44, 45, 47, 52. The kingdom of heaven is like. He's going to describe what the kingdom of heaven is. It's not quoted here as that because this is how we get into the kingdom of heaven. It begins with the preaching of God's word. The planting of the seed in the people's hearts. Now, Jesus is going to explain, he's the sower. The seed is the word of God. The soil is the heart of man. I believe that's Jesus is saying, this is how people get into the kingdom. Jesus sows. He's the sower. It's his word. It's his power. It's his grace. We're his garden. And we become a manifestation of his life here on earth through all that he is. But for those that he knows they're not going to, or those that he has not chosen, if you will, listen, they're not going to believe. No matter what he does. I wish I could convince people. Don't you? I mean, I wish I can convince you. There's is a lot of people I want to convince. And what I'm grateful for is the consistency that God has. Jack, come on. Jack, you were so good. Jack. Everybody's looking at you now. He's adorable, ain't he? Hey, let that boy be. I love it. I love having kids in the church. You have no idea. Let him have at it, because remember, I got the mic. That's just going to keep him up anyway. He's precious. Precious. All right. You know, I lost my thought. Age has got nothing to do with it. Don't think this gray has fooled you. I dye it gray because I want to look mature. God's my baba. You can tell. The only way, listen, it's possible, John 2, 23 to 25, it's possible to believe. I don't mean saving grace, saving, you know, faith, believe. Many people believe in God. You agree? I mean, listen, cults believe in God. Muslims believe there's a God. They believe in God. Not the same God, but they believe in God. You can believe and not be saved. That's a scary thought. 19 times in Matthew 13, we find the word hear. Hear his word. Hear his word. How do you hear? Listen, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. Verse 9, chapter 13. In Mark 4:24, he said, take care what you hear. In Luke 8:18, it says, take care how you listen. how you listen. Some fell on the road, beside the road. It's the path where everybody walked on. Nothing was going to grow on it. It was too hard. Some on rocky place. It wasn't just there were rocks in there. No, it was a bedrock. There was just a little bit of dirt on top, so it sprouted right away, but it had no roots. It had nowhere to go. Others fell among the thorns. Now, did the thorns choke it? Were the thorns taking some of the nutrients under the ground? I think both. But it had no growth. Only the soil that was good. If God has given you good soil, praise Him always. Amen. If you know the Lord has saved your soul, praise Him always. I am so grateful to know the Lord. The Lord gave three reasons to teach in parables. Again, it was to reveal to believers, it was to conceal unbelievers, and it was to fulfill prophecy. The prophecy was Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. It says, he said, go and tell this people, keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull, and their eyes dim. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. That's a judgment verse. I narrowed it down to reveal, conceal, and unveil. The disciples, they saw and believed. They heard and believed. The leaders and the Pharisees, they heard and they rejected. As always, there's only two types of people in the world. You're either a believer or an unbeliever. The most dangerous place to be is to think that you're saved and you're not. So you say, well, how will I know? Well, we have a saying here at Word of Life Church, and it goes like this. You will know that you know that you know. And you'll know. And we've had testimonies here where people came back and said, I know. Do you know? I know that I know that I know. Huh. He said, you'll know the mystery, some aspect of Christian life or experience which was not fully revealed in the Old Testament. God will reveal it in the New. Someone wrote this, those who refuse to see are punished by becoming unable to see, and the penalty of sin is to be left in sin. Nothing good comes from that. It's grace that has opened your eyes. It's grace that has opened your ears. Blessed are your eyes that see, and truly to hear the gospel and to see the blessings. It's a favor that God has given to us. Forever grateful for that. Look at verse 10. It says, the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Jesus answered them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes. Take this personally, if you know the Lord. Blessed are your eyes. Blessed because they see. Your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. Listen, the key to understanding the parables, the disciples didn't have a clue either. Jesus is teaching in parables, and they're going, all right, you know, the parable is to come alongside. It's to take a physical story to reveal a spiritual truth. What is it that Jesus is saying? Well, he's talking about a sower and seeds. They all understood that. It was an agricultural environment. They all understood someone casts the seeds. Some of the seed goes on the good ground. Some of it doesn't. Some of it is left for the poor. They all understood that, but they didn't get the spiritual side of it. And so when they went to Jesus, he's telling them, this is basically getting into, this is how you get in the kingdom. If they had not gone, they would have been just as ignorant as the ones that refused it. So what's the parable really doing? See what it's doing? It's drawing people to him. He puts it out there and he says, listen, if you want to know, come, I'll tell you. I'll tell you. God's not hiding. He doesn't hide his word. He doesn't hide his truth. He's not hiding his salvation. Well, no, you can't have it. Nope. Guess which hand it's in. That's not the way he works. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and laden, heavy laden. I'll give you what? Rest. Take my yoke and learn of me. Jesus explains it in 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. Now the disciples are sitting there. They're getting ministered to. They're going to find out exactly what Jesus is saying. It says, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it. We were all there at one time, were we not? He does not understand it. The evil one comes and snatches it away. What has been sown into his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road. He says, then the one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. I've seen that many times. They hear the word. I remember the play at Grace Gospel Church, and all these people would go there, and they'd be, Jesus is real, he's this. And then, 6 months down the road, they're right back to where they started from. That's not salvation. Eternal life is eternity. You don't pick it up, put it down, pick it up, put it down. Once you pick it up, you can't put it down. Even if someone tells you where you should go, because they're not fond of you, you can't go there. When people show me I'm number one, and they use the wrong finger, and they tell me where I should go, I simply go, I can't go there. Like, I can't. I'm going to heaven. I am so going to heaven. I hope the Lord tarries, but I can't wait to go to heaven. Does that make sense? Verse 21, yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary, and within affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. Verse 22, and the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Verse 23, and the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word, understands it, indeed bears fruit, and brings forth some 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. I like what Ed said about that. He said, it's more about capacity than quantity. Listen, if you're operating, if God gives you one gift, and you fulfill that one gift, that may be a 30%, and you fulfill that one gift to the fullest, you know what the reward you get? 100%. 100%. If it's 60%, and you fall short of it, and you're not fulfilling, because you want to be lazy, and you don't want to, you may not get that 100%. But if you get 100%, I think I'd rather have 30. No, 100, 100, 100. Listen, take care how you listen. There's a reason. I know some of you don't like it, but there's a reason why we try to have a quiet time before church. There's a reason. It's not because, you know, we want you all to be good students and be quiet before class starts. That's got nothing to do with that. It's a preparation of the heart. For me, we pray before we leave the house. Every service, Wednesday night and Sunday morning, we pray. We pray for you. We pray for the church. We pray that God would tend to the details. We pray for his mercy. We pray he'd rent the heavens and pour himself down. We pray that he's a wall of fire round about. We pray that he would minister, that he would do what only he could do, that he would just do a mighty work, that transformation and salvation would be in his house today. But when I come and I have that quiet time to sit, it ministers to my spirit. And it prepares me for when the music begins. Listen, we're not learning new songs every week. There's songs that we play that we're used to. And yet, you don't know when that one Sunday is going to be where you hear that one song that you've heard 100 times that totally transforms your life. But if your heart's prepared, you're giving yourself a greater opportunity for him to work in you than if it's not. Because every one of these things, listen, I believe it's about the kingdom and entering the kingdom, but every one of those hearts that are mentioned, we've experienced. It's not just for salvation, it's for reality. It's every time we come to church. How many times have we come to church and something else is on your mind? Someone ticked you off. And you're like, you know how it is. And you're just so frustrated, you can't hear anything. What do you think Satan's doing with that seed? You think he's going to leave it there to ferment? I don't think so. He's stealing that right away before you leave the doors. Well, how about you sit and you listen? And you're like, oh, what a good message. A half hour later, someone says, hey, how was the word today? And you go, huh. I don't know. That's sprouting up right away. That's the rocky soil. And how much did you get out of it? I can tell you this. If your heart is prepared, if you receive it in your spirit, and the Holy Spirit is doing the teaching, which we always pray and ask before service, and he's teaching us, and you receive it in the Spirit, you know what that is? Eternal. Whether you remember it or not, it's eternal, and God is storing it in your soul, and when difficult times come or jubilant times come, you're able to take it all in stride. Because you know it's the Lord. His word does have power, but it's not power that I have, although I have the Holy Spirit power in me, but it's the word. Word of God speak. How often does the word of God speak? Listen to Psalm 25:14. It says, the secret of the Lord is for those who fear him. The parables drew the disciples to the Lord. I pray that because we preach Christ and Christ alone, that that draws you. And it should draw us. And it should draw us closer to him. Again, you guys, that missed Friday night, it was awesome. It was awesome. And it's so much, it's all Jesus. I get so fed. Let me close with these thoughts. The kingdom of heaven is the rule of heaven, and where the king rules. He rules in our hearts. He rules in our life. He lives in you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He can't. He's indwelt you. He can't. He's not leaving. No matter how far you run, no matter where you go, he's still there. He's still there. The kingdom of heaven is a spiritual life. It's not physical. It's spiritual. There will be a kingdom, a thousand-year millennial kingdom, physical, but we're living in the spiritual. The spiritual. It's the principles of grace. It's the laws of grace. It's grace. The parables were designed to draw you to Jesus as an exclamation. His sacred secrets are for those who come to his feet for revelation. Jesus has deliberately hidden the light because he knew they would reject the light. He knows what's in man. He knows what's in your heart. The word of God is alive because the Bible is the shell and Christ is the life. The only thing more precious than the Bible is what it contains. Or I should say who it contains. And that's the revelation of the living word of Jesus himself. The fact is, at any moment in our life, we can be any one of these soils. Listen, the preacher can be one of those soils. Not today, but he can be. But when we commit it to the Lord, when we're trusting the Holy Spirit to do the work, Solomon prayed a prayer in 1 Kings 3:9. He went to the Lord and he knew that he couldn't guide God's people. He needed something. He needed strength. You want to know what he prayed? Listen to this. It says, give thy servant a hearing heart. That's a preacher's prayer. Because if I don't have a learning heart, if I'm not receiving from God, I got nothing for you. Oh, that we might be good soil that gives unreservedly an openness to receive the seed of his kingdom. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.
Father, thank you once again for your presence here with us. For the reality of what your Spirit has taught us through your written word. May it govern and control our lives. May we walk in the new revelation that you've given each one of us today and experience your life within us and living through us to the fullest. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.